This is Coach Chris Holtman. You're listening to Drive the Lane Podcast.
Welcome back to Drive the Lane. Fresh off an Ohio State win over UCLA in one of the ugliest first halves of basketball you will ever see. Much better second half. We'll get into all that. But there's some big events coming up we need to tell you about. You know our friends over at Butcher's Tap. It's our favorite place to watch Ohio State games, whether it's because their game day stadium experience with the TVs on. Every TV's got the game. The volume's all the way up. They got their halftime raffle, world famous halftime raffle. They have a huge bar, great game day drink specials. That's the place you're going to want to go for the Cotton Bowl, for the Drive the Lane Bowl. But you're also going to want to go there on January 10th. To watch the Ohio State-Wisconsin basketball game with us. But you're really going to want to book your calendar and get ready to go to Butcher's Tap on January 26th for Live the Lane, not Drive the Lane, Live the Lane 3.0, our third live show ever, second ever at the Butcher's Tap. The first one ever was at McGee's, which is in Lincoln Park, another great Ohio State bar that you should check out for games, but a lot of fun stuff coming up with Butcher's Tap. We'll have more on that live show coming soon, including who the guests are, the time, how to get in, which is just show up, and a lot more. Joey, I know that when you hear Live the Lane live show, it gets you pretty excited. Is that fair to say the least?
I'm most excited because this will be the first one during basketball season, and Ohio State basketball, nice bounce back win, looking very good. So I like live shows because it's just like we can see all the people that support us, at least in Chicago, in person. It's just a very fun night. It's very laid back. There's drinks flowing. We get to be like, hey, you want a drink? It's on us. You know, and it's just It's fun to just, you know, we give away a lot of stuff. It's fun to give back to the people that support us and be able to hug people and say thank you for being fans. And selfishly, again, it's during hoop season, and that means more basketball related content and probably basketball related guests, which, as Andrew said, we'll talk about in future weeks. But couldn't think of a better spot to have it at McGee's/Butcher's Tap. I went to Butcher's Tap for the Ohio State Michigan game, had a great time. You will too. So make sure you come hang out with us on the 10th for the Wisconsin basketball game. Make sure you come to the show, which we'll have more details about on the 26th.
The game, the reason, I'm glad you said that. The reason we're doing it that day is because Ohio State plays at Northwestern, which those of you who are listening to the show, you definitely know Northwestern is in Evanston, Illinois, which actually is like 15 minutes from Butcher's Tap. So maybe we'll get some Northwestern fans showing up and talking some smack. Normally we do it for Northwestern football, like you mentioned, Joey, but a great opportunity with the Buckeyes coming to town. This is going to be like the least we've ever had to travel for an Ohio State game, with the exception of when you were on the team and you just walked from your dorm to the game.
Yeah. Well, you know, what's funny is just about every hotel you stay at, you know, as you travel throughout the country is usually walking distance to the stadium, except for a few places. I vividly remember going to Creighton and staying in a hotel that was connected to their stadium, which was pretty cool. We did not take a bus to the game. Like, that's wild. Think about that. So actually we took a bus to the game. We didn't take a bus to shoot around though. In the morning, we walked across like a sky bridge, all dressed in our stuff. And like, it was very funny. I have a video of it because it was like so goofy. I was like, here's the hotel, here's the court. Hotel, court. Anyway.
Speaking of goofy, you ready for this?
Ready.
Ohio State, which hails from Ohio, versus UCLA, which hails from California, Los Angeles, in Atlanta. Speaking of goofy, it made for an interesting crowd, and it definitely made for an interesting game. The first non-in-person game that we watched together, 1-0 when we just watch games together versus be there.
That's how we do it, baby. Yeah, and it was really fun the whole time. I don't feel like the game was ever in doubt. Like, because UCLA just, between you and me, Andrew, everybody else is not listening. Just between you and me, UCLA is not good. They're just not good. So I didn't feel like the game was ever in doubt. And, like, you've watched games. We haven't watched, like you said, a ton of Ohio State sporting events together. But that was as laid back as I think I've been in a long time. Like, feet up. You know, there were points where I was like, you know, into it a little bit more because the refs or were missing a ton of shots or whatever. But it was not from lack of playing hard. It wasn't from lack of defense. And it wasn't from ever thinking the game was in jeopardy. But man, was it ugly and not fun to watch. And I'm sure you felt the exact same way.
I did feel the same way. I mean, we were like talking about our plans for the rest of the night in the first half. And normally we're locked in, we're tweeting. We were sarcastic tweeting for the most part. Yeah. We were joke tweeting, just trying to, sometimes we play this little game where we're like, let's see if anyone's paying attention to Drive the Lane and to Ohio State basketball right now. Normally they come out of the forest when Ohio State loses, and all of a sudden everyone was watching the whole game all of a sudden. But you know, it's
the box score watchers, the box score warriors that go, oh my God, Evan Mahaffey was 0-for-3 from the field today. Like, what a useless guy. Like, give Devin Royal more minutes. It's like, okay, well, first of all, two things can be true. Devin Royal get more minutes and Evan Mahaffey is fine. It's like, you weren't watching the game because you didn't see he had 8 deflections and starts the fast break and makes good, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, I hate Ohio State fans are on my last nerve in general, by the way, but we don't need to do that.
One thing that I saw from the game that I really, really liked was Jameson battled in the second half. Everyone in the whole gym struggled in the first half. So to single anyone out in particular would be foolish, even though Roddy had like 8 of the 22 at half, I think, or whatever it was. But Jameson Battle, we were paying attention to his total points scored, and we were surprised when he went from, I think it was 2 to either 13 or 15 towards the end of the game. And then he hit that huge 3, which wasn't just huge because of a big moment in the game, but because they were about to make the
record.
Yeah. So he was my quote unquote shining star of the game. And it was just really from the way he brought the group together, in my opinion, in the second half. And that's because I also feel like we haven't picked him yet as like the guy that made the difference, with the exception of the Minnesota game. So, I mean, that gives me a lot of confidence in him moving forward.
Yeah, I think that, you know, that backcourt, which I include Jameson Battle in, is so steady. You know, Roddy had 19 points. You didn't even know he had 19 points. Like, when you only score 67, 19 points is a lot. He was the only guy going at all in the first half. You know, he's become so efficient, such a great playmaker. Jameson, what's been so impressive for me is he is slowly fitting in so well, to the point where it's not fitting in anymore. He is just as much of you know, it's Bruce's team, obviously, but he's right there, senior leader, contributor. He's the best shooter, obviously, but he's got a mid-range game and he finishes well around the rim. And, you know, he's sneaky with some of the post moves that he makes in that long post area. But I know that this isn't, obviously, Jameson was awesome and Roddy was the guy that kept us afloat in the first half. But Bruce Thornton, his efficiency, you know, he's 4-for-15 from the field. You know, that's not what we're used to seeing from Bruce. But man, when it mattered most in the second half, he was so good down the stretch. And obviously it was a weird game and UCLA is great on defense and Bruce is coming home and playing in Georgia in front of 70 fans and friends and family that he got tickets for to the game. So I'm sure there was a little bit of pressure that he felt and stuff, but I'm just overall so impressed with this team because it's a game that they lose last year. It's a game that you lose when you don't have an identity. It's a game that you lose when you don't have any confidence. And I think that I've been in the locker room before with this coaching staff, and I know that when they came in the second half, there are, you know, you got to pick your times of when to get on guys and when to get guys riled up and believing. And I know that Coach Holtman walked in and he was clapping and he's getting the energy up, and he's like, "Fellas, we're down 1 point and could not have played worse offensively. We will get it figured out. Bruce, you'll get it figured out. Jameson, you'll get it figured out, and we'll be just fine." And guess what? They got it figured out and they were just fine. And there's something to be said about how you feel as a coach and as a team, right? Maybe not individually, but the prospects of the team. When you win a game ugly like that, when you win a game, when you only make 1-3, where you win a game where maybe you rely a little bit more on defense than offense, you know, you win a game where things aren't going well for you, you feel a lot better about that win than you do when everything's going well for you and you're making shots and the other team maybe isn't that good and, you know, it's never in doubt and blah, blah, blah. The fact that they went from Penn State losing in a fashion where, you know, that could in theory derail the season. There were plenty of, like, I look at the UNC game last year as a game that maybe derailed the season for Ohio State, where they were up 5 with like a minute and a half left and ended up losing an OT. And then they went on a huge losing streak the rest of the year. You know, the Penn State loss could have been, all right, it's a young team. That sucks that we lost. I feel sorry for ourselves, blah, 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 spiral out of control. And the first half was terrible and they bounced back and they were very gritty. And it was, you know, a game where you can look at in a few weeks and say, okay, that was a turning point just as much as maybe the loss was a wake-up call. That UCLA win is saying, okay, we don't have to shoot, you know, 40% from three and score 80 points to win every game. Because in the Big Ten, you know, that's not every single night. You have to win games in the 60s and the low 70s. You have to win games with your defense. You have to win games at home where you're fighting off a really good shooting night from the other team where you're having a bad shooting night. You know, you got to win with other, you know, guys and ways that basketball is played. So I just can't say enough good things about how positive you should feel as a fan, because winning ugly is a skill, and you need to be a team in order to win in the Big Ten and win in March that can win in a number of different ways. You know, like Kansas, for example, right? They're the number 2 team in the country. They went into Indiana and they don't shoot the ball well in general, but they were down. They came back. It was on the road, hostile environment. You learn a lot about your team, and that's a different win than they had when, you know, they play, you know, in the Big 12, they'll play at home against Oklahoma State and they'll win 100-90. And that's going to be a way different win than being battle tested on the road. So, yeah, I think the team grew up a lot. I know I'm rambling on and on and on, but like, you win a game where Bruce Thornton doesn't have his best stuff. You win a game where Jameson Battle proves his worth in the second half. You win a game where you only make 1-3, you know, you turn the ball over more than you ever had all year. Like, all signs pointed to a loss, and they won. So, and they won by 7. Like, it was never really, in the last few minutes, it was never really in doubt. And say whatever you want, beating UCLA, that's a blue blood team, and you take that, you run, and we'll see how they do against New Orleans on Thursday, which I will be on the call for. And that's a spot where there could be a letdown. You know, you see, they just played UCLA, good win. They played New Orleans before going to play West Virginia in Cleveland, which is, I mean, that's a huge game. West Virginia is not as good as they thought they were going to be, but it's still Power 5 West Virginia in Cleveland. And
they also just got
his way. It wouldn't be a neutral.
They also just got two guys back. Yeah. The transfers are,
they lost now. Jesse Edwards.
Yeah.
So yeah. Kirk, if you remember Kirk Creasa from Arizona, he's back, and the other transfer, another high major guy. So they have two, or I guess not technically high major. I think it is Noah Farkahan, whatever his name is. He's an IMG guy, has one of the best like mixtapes ever. He ended up at Eastern Michigan with Imani Bates and was incredible there. So not technically high major, but a high level player. If those guys do end up both suiting up, it'll be very interesting. So we'll see.
They also have a Jewish player on their team, and he was lighting the menorah for Hanukkah. So it's important to remember that miracles do happen around this time of year. So that's tough to be going up against that.
Great point, Andrew.
And tell me if I'm wrong. I know Ohio State had that miracle factor when you were on the team, but currently there's no one holding down that role, correct?
That role. Yes, the role of being
miracle
Jewish.
Worker. Correct. The miracle worker.
Yeah. Yeah. The miracle worker role not filled.
So basically what I'm trying to say is I'd be shocked if they win that game.
You think West Virginia by 8? That's what it sounds like?
Yeah.
By 18?
Yeah. that's a deep cut joke for any listeners who appreciate
it. If anybody not named Scott Lane gets that one, if Scott Lane gets that one, I'll be impressed. Anyway,
another thing I want to say about UCLA before we wrap this up is Holtmann 3-0 against UCLA is a crazy stat.
Great. He's 3-0 against another Big Ten team.
Yeah. Oh, that's true. That makes it less cool. You just ruined it.
Why? That's good. They're coming to the Big Ten. It's good that
but that's less cool.
Yeah, I mean, sure. That event, the CBS Sports Classic, is so freaking cool. There's so much blue in those games and no red, which is funny. If I walk through briefly my four games, which, again, it was really cool. Barclays Center, we beat Kentucky. That was sick. Tyler Ulis, Jamal Murray. That was an awesome Kentucky team, and we won. And Barclays had just opened, so, like, that was really cool. Then the next year, we go to Vegas and play Lonzo Ball in UCLA, and we were in the game until about 3 minutes left. They end up winning by double digits. That was the last time Ohio State's lost to UCLA. And then junior year, we play North Carolina and Kata has his coming out party and a loss before we then beat UCLA at home in the United Center, which was so cool for me. So, yeah, long-winded story. But the CBS Sports Classic is very cool, and I know – excuse me. I feel like there's an element of, like, Ohio State, like, should be honored that they're in it because they're not a blue blood, but they're still a worthy adversary. So they win every year, it seems like.
I would have liked to have seen them against North Carolina this year because it feels like they're similar territory to North Carolina.
Yeah, like – any team where they would have been a slight underdog would have been nice. Like, figure out where they fit in because they don't really have that chance again this year. Like, West Virginia, they'll be a favorite. Obviously, you'll play the Purdues and the Illinois of the world. But, which I think, hot take, Illinois has a better chance of going to the Final Four than Purdue. Is that a hot take? It's a hot take.
It's not a hot take if we're going to operate the – not it's going to be three different teams that win the regular season, win the tournament, and
not this year. Purdue is going to win the Big Ten regular season. Well, I guess it could be three different teams. I am excited, Andrew. I do think that we should do once Ohio State is done playing football, that next episode should be a Big Ten preview episode in some element. We'll get a great guest and get people caught up to speed on what they've missed so far.
I'm good with that. Last thing from me. Is Ohio State going to play UCLA potentially five times, or is it done?
Yeah. It's not done, but I don't. It's a really good question. Good news is they've got 2 years to figure it out.
Theoretically, they could play them in three. They could play them four times without.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I think Ohio State still is interested in the CBS Sports Classic if they are guaranteed Kentucky or North Carolina every single year, you know?
Yeah.
But because Kentucky and North Carolina, they don't care. They're playing all – but no, but then they would never play each other because maybe they add more teams to the mix. I don't know.
Oh, this is what I'm going to say. It's significantly less cool because – Ohio State, I think, has more CBS games now with the new deal.
Yeah.
So it's less cool to play on CBS, and it's less cool because they're going to play UCLA seven times a year. So I agree with you. Just have them only play Kentucky or North Carolina.
Yeah, but then Kentucky can never play North Carolina.
Well, then just bring a different red blue blood team in there.
Arizona.
Yeah.
Can you give me your best CBS college football intro impression?
Like the song?
Mm-hmm.
CBS is yeah.
Yeah. It's a good one. And now we're live from Piscataway, where Rutgers is taking on the Fighting Illini of Illinois in football.
They're gonna be psyched next year, CBS, when they have like Michigan Rutgers as their CBS.
That's what I'm saying. Miserable. Anyway. Anything else new and exciting?
I mean, we already covered last week that Flacco's gonna win another Super Bowl.
Flacco.
Real quick, I think Fields is done as a Bear. I don't think he's done in the NFL. I think he's gonna do enough over these next few games to show a team like Tampa, who probably will re-sign Baker because he's playing amazing.
Yeah,
but
he just had the best game ever.
A team like, you know, Atlanta, who maybe, you know, all right, we have so many holes. We're not going to draft a quarterback. We're going to bring in Fields, blah, blah. I think he will, or, you know, New Orleans, I think he will land. So basically just the NFC South. But I think he'll be on another team. But I think Tanyan had that drop. Take the Hail Mary out of it, because that's like a fake play. Like, that wouldn't have really benefited his game.
Oh, the Tanyan. Okay. They dropped the game winning touchdown pass.
Right, but however that got it got tipped 10 times.
However you want to look at it, you as a Browns fan don't want to believe it, but he dropped the game-winning touchdown pass.
No, I'm not saying it didn't almost get caught. I'm saying you wouldn't be like amazing play by Fields, because he just threw it up and it got. I'm saying the Tanyan one changes terrible. His game a little bit, stats wise for sure, but just takes a lot of bad sacks and
just all of a sudden out on Fields, just out of nowhere.
I'm not completely out on Fields. Out. Did you even listen to what I said? I'm not out on.
No, out.
I think he will not be the Bears quarterback next year.
Right, but then you followed it up with out on field stats, even though you didn't say, you're like, oh well, his stats stink and blah blah blah.
When your options are as crazy and good as they potentially are for the Bears, I don't think he will remain on the team. But hey, he's got three more games to prove something.
I like many other sports fans, listen to Part of My Take every single Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Big Cat is a well-known Bears fan. I am choosing to have the exact same thought process that he has. And that is, simply put, I trust Ryan Poles. He got us a phenomenal haul for the first pick last year. We're going to have the first pick again. If Ryan Poles, besides keeping Eberflus, if Ryan Poles wants to draft the quarterback at number one, I trust him. If he wants to keep Fields, I trust him. And we'll see what happens.
Sounds good. I think he's going to not choose to keep Fields.
I just don't know.
Do you think McCord could maybe be the option? Like, can we keep it a Buckeye quarterback? Oh, no, he'll be at Syracuse. So that'll be tough.
Poor Kyle McCord. I don't even know what to think of him. Anyway. All right. We'll see you at Butcher's Tap.
We'll see you at Butcher's Tap. Buckle up. Drive the lane.
Beat the Privateers.
No go Buckeyes. You just broke it. Oh, wait. Sorry, wait, you're calling the game.
Yeah, I can't say it.
Reverse it. You go.
All right. Hey, guys, this was really fun. I hope you enjoyed that episode of Drive the Lane. With that being said, buckle up and drive the lane.
Go Buckeyes. Beat the Privateers.
Yep, that is the nickname for the University of New Orleans.